Tortoise.
Hello, I'm Tomini, and this is The Sensemaker from Tortoise. One story every day to make sense of the world. Today, more than 130 people were killed in an attack at a concert hall in Moscow last Friday. What do we know about the people behind it? That's after a short break.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
On the 22nd of March, a crowd gathered at Crocus City Hall on the outskirts of Moscow for a concert by the rock band Picnic. But just after 8 p.m, a group of gunmen burst in through the entrance.
We turn now to a horrific attack today in the heart of Russia. Heavily armed gunmen opening fire in a concert hall in a suburb of Moscow before the building went up in flames.
As of Tuesday, 139 people have died, including 3 children. Many more are seriously injured. The terrorist group Islamic State released graphic footage of the attack and claimed responsibility for it. Without citing any evidence, Russia's president Vladimir Putin linked it to Ukraine. On Sunday, 4 men were dragged into a court, bruised and beaten, and charged with the attack. So, what do we know about what happened?
Even though Islamic State claims responsibility, there are many claims that potentially it's Islamic State in Khorasan, so the group that initially emerged in Afghanistan, that's behind the attack.
This is Jerome Drevon.
I work as a senior analyst on jihad and modern conflicts for International Crisis Group.
Jerome says it's likely that this attack was perpetrated by a group sometimes known as ISIS-K or ISK.
So basically, ISK is a group that emerged in 2015 in Afghanistan. When IS was very powerful in Syria and Iraq, it tried to mobilize other militants elsewhere. So that was the case in Africa in particular, but also in other countries. And so ISK was formed at the time by distinguished commanders from the Taliban Pakistan, some delusion commanders from the Afghan Taliban, also some urban youth, around this idea that there should be a worldwide caliphate.
The group is seen as a rival to the Taliban, another Islamic fundamentalist group which currently runs Afghanistan.
I mean, the aim is very simple and very easy in absolute. It's to say that militants that pledge allegiance to this group should establish Islamic states here and now, wherever they are. So if you are in the jungles of Eastern DRC, you should establish an Islamic state there, in the north of Mozambique, in the Sahel, whatever. So the objective is really an Islamic state immediately, and that is all connected to the same structure that they call the revival of the caliphate.
Jerome wasn't surprised when he heard the news of the attacks. He says ISIS-K is active, pointing to 3 attacks in Iran in the past year and a recent shooting at a Catholic church in Istanbul. But why Russia?
There are historical and current reasons. I mean, historically, you know, for groups like IS, they still remember the Russian invasion of Afghanistan, the 2 wars in Chechnya. So there is no an old conflict with Russia. But there are also much more current developments to which attack is relevant. So, for example, you know, the Russians have helped the Syrian regime retake many regions. And even though the Russians mostly fought other groups, it also fought Islamic State in Syria. Russia is also allied with military juntas in West Africa that are also fighting the local IS affiliate.
Jerome also says that this is not the first attack by ISIS-K in Russia.
In 2015, IS in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt also targeted a Russian civilian plane. So it's not that surprising that they would attack Russia now. I think a lot of it has to do with simply having the opportunity, the right opportunity at the right time.
In fact, the US had tried to warn Russia that it was vulnerable to an extremist attack in the days before the shooting, but Putin didn't listen.
Maybe the Russians simply don't trust the US, simply think that the US is trying to divert their attention from Ukraine. Maybe they did heed the advice, but couldn't prevent the attack. And it seemed that they did prevent another attack 2 weeks beforehand.
Putin has now said that the attack was conducted by radical Islamists. But he's also continued to blame Ukraine. Jerome says there is no evidence for Putin's claims that this attack is linked to the war in Ukraine. But it might have served as a useful distraction while ISIS-K plotted its attack.
They do also use and exploit international divides. So if there is a divide between different countries, it also helps their agenda because it means that countries are not as much focused on their militants. Russia has been focused much more on political dissidents inside Russia or on its war against Ukraine. So they cannot focus on everything. So it's not that surprising that they would not focus as much on Islamic militants. And the claims that the Ukrainians are using this attack or exploiting it doesn't really make sense, but it's not in the interest of Ukraine to be assimilated to such a group and to target Russian civilians. Because this just reinforces the agenda of Putin and his regime, so it doesn't really help them in any ways.
In other words, the terrorist group spotted a vulnerability in Moscow, and it attacked. So what are its ambitions? We'll have more after the break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, it's Tomini from Tortoise. This podcast is sponsored by EY. Senior business leaders in the UK are keen to harness AI, but there's a complex regulatory maze emerging globally. The OECD, a group of the world's richest countries, which includes the UK, has adopted a new set of principles to ensure that AI operates in a way that's safe, fair, and trustworthy. The principles are wide-ranging, but in essence, call for AI systems to be designed in a way that respects the rule of law and human rights, and says there should be transparency around their use. By embracing the core principles of responsible innovation, UK business leaders can better explore sector-specific opportunities and emerging trends without compromising on citizens' trust. Find out more at ey.ai.
Hello, I'm Jeevan Vasagar. I'm climate editor at Tortoise and host of a new podcast called Counter Crisis from the Centre for Disaster Protection, a UK government-funded international organisation which works to change how the world plans and pays for disasters. If you follow the news, you'll know that more people than ever are in need of humanitarian assistance. War and climate change are affecting millions, but the solutions haven't really kept pace. Finance is key. We saw during the pandemic that the countries that found it easiest to borrow money were the most able to respond, and not the countries that were the most affected. Across three episodes, covering disasters, the losses caused by climate change, and our response to disease outbreaks, I'm going to try and make sense of this. Why are the current ways we respond to crises inadequate, and how can we do better? I'll be speaking to experts to rethink the recovery from crisis and find out why pre-arranged finance can help get aid where it's needed. You can listen now. Search for Counter Crisis wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.
I think they will try to attack other countries based on opportunities offered to them. Now, one of the big questions is about Western Europe. There have been many plots aborted in Western Europe and individuals arrested and so on. But it's a threat that Western countries take very, very seriously.
Jerome Drevon thinks ISIS-K will not be slowing down now.
In particular, France, because of the Olympic Games that are organized in the summer. And so there are real fears that something could happen. So it means that different countries, including Western countries, but potentially up to Russia, Iran and others, will have to continue sharing information.
Dr. Murat Aslan, a military analyst, told Tortoise that ISIS-K may have attacked Russia in part because the country has become more isolated from the West since the outbreak of the war in Ukraine. But Jerome doesn't think that will get in the way of their ambitions to protect themselves from future terrorist threats.
Because despite their divides, the US at least is sharing information with them. Because for them, it's regardless of what happens in Ukraine and other areas, this is a key threat to international security. I think they still see Ukraine as something really, really important. But then, in parallel, they can still focus on this as well.
Thank you for listening to The Sensemaker from Tortoise. This episode was written and mixed by Patricia Clark.
Tortoise. Hello, I'm Jeevan Vasiga. I'm climate editor at Tortoise and host of a new podcast called Counter Crisis from the Centre for Disaster Protection, a UK government-funded international organisation which works to change how the world plans and pays for disasters. If you follow the news, you'll know that more people than ever are in need of humanitarian assistance. War and climate change are affecting millions, but the solutions haven't really kept pace. Finance is key. We saw during the pandemic that the countries that found it easiest to borrow money were the most able to respond, and not the countries that were the most affected. Across three episodes, covering disasters, the losses caused by climate change, and our response to disease outbreaks, I'm going to try and make sense of this. Why are the current ways we respond to crises inadequate? And how can we do better? I'll be speaking to experts to rethink the recovery from crisis and find out why prearranged finance can help get aid where it's needed. You can listen now. Search for Counter Crisis wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.